Here's why you're beautiful. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
I'm feeling good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, there's something about getting a haircut. It does make you feel good.
Oh, so that's why you're in your mood.
One of the reasons.
Well, you walked out of the barber's chair yesterday like a brand new man. Like a spring chicken.
Yeah. Now, there is a double-edged sword with a haircut, I feel. One is...
It highlights the gray?
Yes. On the one hand, you do feel good. On the other hand, makes your face look a little fatter.
What?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, that's...
Hey, what's up, fat boy?
I think that's more about the face than the hair.
By the way, of course, the...
It highlights your features.
By the way, I think I mentioned the season opener was in 16 days. Season opener in 6 days. 6 days.
What are you talking about?
Tulane, Southeast Louisiana.
Oh, my God.
Southeastern Louisiana. I'm a Tulane Green Wave fan.
You're on the bandwagon just because they were a top 25 team last year.
For 9 of 11 weeks.
You going to get down there?
Oh, yeah.
Down to the bayou?
I think I got the game circled.
Nolens?
Temple at Tulane.
It's a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the AAC, Steiny?
Oh, they play on Thursdays sometimes.
That they do.
TV
contract.
Let's see. Well, we got to go to Norman, Oklahoma, week 3.
You guys are
against the Sooners.
Taking on the Sooners?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's trouble. I'll tell you who you got to look out for this season.
Buffalo?
Rice. Coming off a nice season. Luke McCaffrey leading the team.
Uncle Ben's.
The Owls.
That's Temple. The Temple Owls.
They're both Owls.
Yeah. Hey, 49ers Raiders tonight, and I'm going to say it.
Spadone's locked in.
I'm going to say it. This is the biggest preseason game in the Shanahan era. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Let me guess, Niner fans. Let me guess. Purdy will throw two interceptions in the first quarter against the third-string defense. You'll come in Monday and say, "Aim, we're fine. Nothing wrong. It's only preseason."
Is this just because Murillo called you soft? I mean, well, it is a legacy game for Purdy.
Of course it is.
It was a legacy game for Lance last year.
Boy.
Probably the last time we saw him.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Yeah, it's the last time we saw him.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. Mike gets it. Hey, Mike.
Oh, of course I do.
Of course.
And I don't think you're soft, man. Oh, but thanks. I do think you miss Goo.
Oh, jeez. Shots
I'm
fired.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
This was a legacy week for Giddings.
I know. I'm just kidding. Love you, Gid.
Oh, no.
Hey, so I actually wanted your thoughts on something, guys. You know, and I was talking with your screener, taking out the Jets in the first week. I mean, they have a pretty solid defense, and who knows what's going to happen with Rodgers and that offense. But, you know, let's say, and of course you can always call it hypotheticals, which it is. Let's just say Trent, you know, Ayuk and also Pearsall are not going to be starting, and depending how long that takes. And I'm just thinking about the strength of schedule for the 49ers as well. You know, how, like, not to try to add more worrisome to it, but how worried would you guys be without those guys on the field? And I think their strength of schedule somewhere in the middle. I'm driving. I can't really see it right now, but I think it's like 17 to 20 or something like that. But how worried would you guys be because of that strength of schedule as well without those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. I don't have it up in front of me either, but I do know that Evan has made it clear that, you know, they may be okay first 5 games or so, but then it gets a little tricky. Right, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, they're tied for 12th as far as strength of schedule heading into this season. So they're right in the middle, but I do think it bodes well as if you're worried about these issues affecting the season, they might be able to overcome them in the beginning of the year because they get a few bottom feeders. Like, I think the Jets, that'll be a tight game. And then after that, you know, you're dealing with, in no particular order, New England, Arizona, the Rams, and Minnesota. I think Minnesota might be weak, too. So, like, the Niners had better start strong. And, in fact, I think they'll need to start probably 4-1. If they want to be back to where they were last year, which is the one seed, I don't think there's... If they start 3-2, I think they're in a bit of trouble because the middle of their year are against teams that have playoff aspirations. The only team that they play, in my mind, through the first 5 weeks that's... Well, I guess the Rams, potentially. But Stafford's hurt right now, so he's not back at practice for Los Angeles. So right now, the biggest threat's probably week one against the Jets. I mean, they could lose week one and still end up 4-1.
Sure. Sure. Anything's possible.
But I also think it's they're going to need their left tackle and their number one wide receiver.
You know what? 650's right here on the Xfinity Mobile text line. How about, you know, maybe this is what Murillo means, that I'm soft. Good point here from the 650. How about we stop saying they want to get paid? They're already getting paid. The word is greed, says the 650. I'm 65. I almost never listen to sports talk radio unless Steiny's on this time of year because it's all about holdouts. Greed. Bring on the season. That's from Riff Raff. Tell him he's wrong. You can't.
Well, this is the other part about, because again, the Chiefs have been brought up in this because Chris Jones is holding
out
last year.
Let's not compare championship teams to non-championship teams. How about that?
Well, we have to, because where are the Niners trying to go? Who are they trying to become?
Let's compare them to the Bills or a team like that, or the Bengals. How about that?
Why?
Because they're teams that haven't won it either.
Well, yeah, but we're not talking about those teams like they should represent their conference in the Super Bowl. They have aspirations to, but the AFC is a gauntlet. Right now, if you had to power rank the NFC, Steiny, where are the Niners?
7.
That's bringing the best out of you.
They're
You hear what Howard Eskin said yesterday?
Is he on the board?
I think he is, right?
I don't see him on the board, but I'm sure we have him.
No, we'll find him in
a
sec.
This is the other thing. I do want to play this sound. This is from Kyle Shanahan. This is from the Tim Kawakami podcast. And Evan and I came in today. We're going big picture. And remember when he was talking about DeForest Buckner? I just want you to go back and listen to his explanation about what happened with DeForest Buckner. And then just we'll start thinking about now a little bit.
The Buckner thing was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. I loved DeForest Buckner. We didn't want to get rid of him at all, but we're trying to budget a certain amount of money, and then when it gets to a certain price and we know what the options are, you got to choose paying Buck whatever it was, which is a few more than what we were willing, which, all right, let's go there. Guys, what does that mean? Well, you got to get rid of Jimmy Ward and Armstead. Ooh, that's a tough decision. Well, I don't know where I'm going to go with that decision. What if we told you if you get rid of Buck, you get Jimmy Ward, Armstead, and the 13th pick in the draft? Man, that makes sense from an organizational standpoint. Man, I don't want to lose Buck. He's like everything you want for a Niner. But those are the tough decisions you got to make. And that does make sense. You can go either way. But I understand that decision and had nothing to do with Buck. That just had to do with what we were trying to build and how many more people we could get. And we think it's 3-1. Those aren't easy, but I don't shy away from that.
Is it possible that they are not shying away from the tough decision on Brandon Ayuk, which we see they're making in real time? In real time.
But the tough decision for Buckner was trading him. Which, by the way, you know what part of the year they did that, Steiny?
I don't.
March.
Hmm.
They traded him in March.
Interesting.
About a month and a half after the Super Bowl. I think if they were going to trade Brandon Ayuk and were going to make that tough choice that Shanahan was describing, they would have done it already. And so when he's describing, you know, Buckner essentially costing you Ward and, you know, a couple of other guys that we really like, I think the Niners have told us they've made that choice about Ayuk, that he's worth a couple of players that they're not going to be able to sign in the future or retain. They're not going to be able to keep some guys because I think they've already made the choice that they're willing to meet Brandon Ayuk at whatever number they come to. But if they were going to trade him, they would have done it already. That's where this
is
different.
You still don't think there's a scenario in which they trade Ayuk?
No.
I'm not sure about that anymore. I have no idea what's going to happen. We've reached the point where nothing would surprise me. Whether he practices today, whether he doesn't play in game one, whether he gets traded, whether they make him come back on 14, whether they reach a long-term extension with him, so he's back week. I have no idea. There's not one outcome right now, and I mean this, that would surprise me because we've seen so much.
Well, would you give me this? Okay, so this offseason there's been a lot of issues. There's been rumors. There's been distractions. You know, this isn't setting up for a great start to the season, right?
Of course.
If they trade Brandon Ayuk at this point in the offseason, it's become an unmitigated disaster because I don't think they're getting a player back that's going to help them immediately. What you're trying to do is add by subtracting. You're trying to remove the distraction. You're trying to remove basically somebody that has stirred the pot this offseason. You're not trying to get better as a football team. That's why I think they would have done it already, because the deals that were out there this offseason, I don't think from what, at least the rumors that I've read, they've not gotten any better.
It doesn't feel that way.
Like his value to other teams has decreased. So if the Niners move him now, they're selling a damaged good. They're selling a stock at its lowest point as opposed to its highest, which is what they did with Buckner at the very least. They didn't use that first-round pick correctly, obviously, because Kinlaw didn't turn into much. But at the very least, when they traded Buckner, it was for something of value. I don't think they're getting anything of value for Brandon Ayuk at this point because he's going to have to learn the other team's system. They're going to obviously have to pay him. And you're not getting Tyreek Hill. You're getting a really good wide receiver, but I don't think you're getting a game changer the way that Hill was able to go to Miami and completely transform their offense.
Okay. If trading Brandon Ayuk tomorrow would be an unmitigated disaster, and I'm not saying you're wrong, then what would we call Brandon Ayuk being under contract on the Monday of the Jets game, but not playing?
Less than ideal.
See, I think...
You think that's a disaster?
Yes. Yes, I do. Like, I think there are degrees of things happening here. And while you are absolutely right, they probably could have gotten more for Ayuk 6 months ago than they could today. At some point, you got to do something. Don't you? You have to do something because the problem's not worth just moving on.
But it's already a problem.
But listen, as much as I've been ranting and raving, it's still the preseason. To me, there's a big difference between what if we're going through this in a month? What if Ayuk doesn't play the first two games?
Then I also think it's on both of them. Like
I do too.
I'm not one to blame one side or the other. I know there's the reports of Ayuk and, you know, kind of the goalposts moving as far as what he wants based on what other wide receivers have been paid. I don't know. Maybe he's waiting for CD to get his bag. Maybe he's waiting for, you know, Chase to get his and Cincy. I'm not sure what Ayuk is waiting for, but I can't just put it on him.
Nope.
Because the Niners are also the ones that have drawn the proverbial line in the sand, and I think they've moved it multiple times, but this started with them basically telling Ayuk what he was worth, and he wasn't happy about it. So they hold some of this, too. If Ayuk is not in a uniform for whatever team come week one of the regular season, yeah, I'm blaming the 49ers, and I'm blaming Brandon Ayuk. I think there is a possibility that Brandon Ayuk is not on the field week one for any football team.
I think that's possible.
Either because he's holding out or holding in, or because he's just not ready yet, and the Niners don't want to throw him out there.
It's not good. It's not good.
All we're hearing is that there's a stalemate and that they're close to getting some details, but there's a couple wrinkles that got to be figured out. There hasn't been anything that's indicated to me that this is going to change quickly. You know, and maybe it happens this weekend. Maybe after watching the preseason game tonight, if Brock Purdy struggles or the offense doesn't look good against some second and third stringers for the Raiders, that there's more pressure from the Niners to get this done. But I'm not really sure how this thing is going to suddenly expedite to the point where we're just going to, Brandon Ayuk's going to be there next week. It hasn't moved at that pace. In fact, I don't know what pace it's moved at, because every time we think we're at a certain point where he's going to get traded, or the deal's going to get done, or someone leaks out something about Aiyuk's camp, or that the Niners aren't willing to give him this, every time that happens, the next report shows up the next day that, well, actually, you know, it's getting close, and, you know, the two sides are kind of waiting, but there's not really any urgency to get this done. Well, I need urgency. The season's almost here.
Agendas cratered the Warriors season in 2023. Cratered it. And you know what else I was thinking about, too? I know it's a little while ago, 10 years. 2014. 49ers season. Cratered by agendas from Jed York and Jim Harbaugh. Why is this different? Why is there nothing to see here if you're a Niner fan that thinks everything's okay and this won't set the team back and everybody's making a big deal out of something that's not that important or issues that aren't that important? Well, why would you think that when we've seen teams succumb to this kind of upheaval? They're giving themselves less of an opportunity to be successful with how they're all handling the situation. The 49ers right now are giving themselves less of an opportunity to win the Super Bowl by the way everybody has handled the offseason and training camp. And I'm not here to say it's 40% this, 40% that, but this is the other thing. Stop telling me it's Super Bowl or bust. Quit telling me this is the most important year for the 49ers. Stop it. The 49ers and their players are telling you that it's just another year. Oh, yes, they got a team that can win the Super Bowl. But the fans think that it's the most important year. I'm not sure Jed York thinks it's the most important year. He might think it's the most important year because this is the year they have to make tough decisions to get more cost certainty so that they're a good team for the next 3 or 4 years moving forward. And I'm not saying they're gonna go 7-10, but quit telling me it's Super Bowl or bust when they don't have two of their most important offensive players in training camp. You can't. It's just another year for the Niners. It's just another year for the Niners, and they're a good football team, a top five football team, like they've been the last few years, and hopefully like they are the next couple years. But it's not more important than last year, and it's not more important than next year. It's just a year.
But that's the confusing part, though, because when we hear Shanahan talking about the reason that they traded DeForest Buckner, by the way, the year after they made the Super Bowl, and loss of the Chiefs, is that if I told you that they have signed Brandon Aiyuk and they've signed Trent Williams and they gave guaranteed money to McCaffrey, they've signed and they've gotten done the three deals that they had to get done this offseason. Those all to me are win now moves. Aiyuk maybe less so because he's still young enough and he's still in his prime and you're trying to pair him with Purdy for the future. But if you're paying Trent Williams and you're paying McCaffrey, who are two, they're different ages, but McCaffrey's at a similar point. He's, 28. That's typically when running backs tend to decline. Williams is 36 years old. You're paying those guys for this year. I don't think you're just paying them for next year. So I do think that they're trying to pay these guys because this year's important, that they're trying to win now. And I do think that this is perhaps the last great, talented group that we'll see for the Niners. But in that case, get it done.
Exactly.
In that case, get it done.
My main man, Austin from San Jose, on the YouTube chat. Steiny always is focused on the future. The future, though, is now. You're right. I do think about the future, especially when I view it through the prism of a professional sports team. That's right. I do think about moves the Warriors make now affecting them in 2027. All I'm saying is, the 5-2-0, Steiny, it is Super Bowl or bust. No, it's not. If the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl this year, next year's not canceled. They'll have a chance next year. And my point is this. The organization and some players are not treating it like it's Super Bowl or bust. If this year were truly as important as a lot of fans think, that this must be the year, this is our last best chance, the 49ers don't think so. Because it's business as usual right now for them, and it's business as usual for guys who are trying to get paid.
And I think it's business as usual because they found the most important position in sports in their minds. They found their quarterback. Typically, when you find your quarterback, you feel pretty good about your future.
Right.
I do think it's interesting that we're focused so much on this year. And, like, again, I don't know. We talked about this earlier in the week. Last year, it was, God, we found a quarterback. And this year, it feels like the storyline around Purdy is, well, how much is he going to get? You know, how much is he going to cost us? Instead of focusing on what he can provide right now. Again, next year, his salary does not jump from $1 million or $975,000, whatever he's making, to $60 million or $50 million or even $40 million. It jumps to $1.1 million. Everyone is so focused on what Purdy's going to be instead of focusing on the fact that they finally have a quarterback, I believe. And it's just, it's interesting just how it's flipped. I mean, it's like he came in and started and took over for Jimmy, you know, against the Dolphins. It was like, holy hell, who's this guy? Next week he goes out and beats Brady. That year they get to the NFC Championship game. And then it's all right. Well, Brock's hurt, but he's coming back. We found our quarterback. And he helps lead you to a Super Bowl. And you lose. You fall short. And this year it's now, well, we're a little worried if he can be the, like, I do think that people are focused on the future. And I don't really get why.
You mean the 49ers?
Fans, the 49ers, apparently Jed York, because he's talking about his quarterback. Like, Jed York's focused on the future also.
I mean, I get it from Jed York, because he's got to think that way. But, all right, let's turn our attention to tonight's game against the Raiders.
Yeah.
All right. 49ers play the Las Vegas Raiders tonight. Last preseason game. Starters are playing. I'm going to just lay it on the line. What do you need to see tonight? Is there anything you would see? All you 49er fans that think there's nothing to see here, are you the kind of fan that, well, there's not going to be anything to see tomorrow, regardless of what happens tonight? I'm not that kind of observer. They need to show something tonight.
I'm ready.
And you know how I know that? Because it's a game that Kyle Shanahan has deemed important enough to throw the starters out there. So, I get it. It's a preseason game, and this team's got a lot of success in its past. But clearly, it's not just important, or clearly it is important to Kyle Shanahan. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing it. Download the Odyssey app. Directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570. Raiders, 49ers tonight. Niner fans, what do you need to see? The big boys are playing.
You've been soft.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Murillo's done. He is done.
Oh, he's just starting.
By the way.
Sick him.
Let me channel my inner Skip Bayless. Take the hat off, Carter. They stink.
He's in the producer room.
Giants.
What about them?
They start their last push, though, tonight.
By the way, audience, each of the last, two nights I've texted you about the Giants?
Yeah.
I just get a one-word response. Math. The math is still mathing for the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, sure it is.
According to Math Steinmetz.
Sure it is. Yeah, no, it's fine. By the way, let me say something, and I mean this affectionately and with tongue in cheek. You asked me the dumbest question on the text thread last night I've ever seen in my life.
What do you? Well, first of all, it was just us. Second of all, what are you talking about?
I think it was you. Did you ask me what's the hardest sport to win a championship in?
In American professional sports, yes.
Okay, so
this was a question posed by our engineer and good friend, Justin Beltran.
Right, and I'll tell you what I told him. So you want to ask me, is it harder to win the Stanley Cup, the Super Bowl, the World Series, or the NBA Finals?
Yes.
They're all the same.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. Every league's got 30 or 32 teams in it.
So one is harder than the other.
Fine. Infinitesimally, there's a difference.
Math.
But no, he's talking about people who say, oh, it's harder to win a Super Bowl than any other sport to win a champion. No, it's not.
You're right, it's not.
It's the exact same.
The hardest one is the World Series.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You know how many one seeds in the last...
I don't care.
So it doesn't matter. So it means it's easier if you have a certain advantage.
There's 30 teams in all sports.
I have it breaking
down. One team wins a title.
I have the answer right here.
It's the same in every sport.
It's literally...
Thank you very much.
Not...
Use the word literally correctly or don't use it at all.
Well, it's
not. That's all I'm going
to
say.
It's literally not if you have 32 teams compared
fine.
To 30.
You know what?
You want to know the easiest championship to win? It's harder in baseball
because they've got 32 teams. No, I'm sorry. 30 in baseball.
It's the NFL.
NFL. Okay, yeah. It's harder in the NFL because they have 32 teams as opposed to 30. But the task of winning a championship is the same.
No. The easiest championship to win, it's not even close. What's your favorite sport?
Hockey.
That's your new favorite sport. Okay. You did ask me when the San Jose Sharks start training camp. I don't have the answer for you. I'm sure somebody could help us on the Xfinity Mobile text line. But it's the NBA. It's the NBA Finals. I mean, the Warriors just showed you 2 years ago. It's the easiest championship to win.
See, now if I said that...
Yeah, people would be pissed.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's not harder to win a Super Bowl than it is... to win the Stanley Cup trophy.
Oh, please. If you can come back from down 3 on a series, it's easy.
Well, that's the other thing. I'd say it's easier in the NFL because all you got to do is win 3 playoff games. Once you get there.
Yeah, most of the upsets happen.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, thank you, 650. I'm glad somebody caught that.
Stanley Cup's the hardest to win.
No,
yeah, okay.
That's not from...
Yeah, okay. The Stanley Cup's the hardest to win.
Maybe for Sharks fans.
Meanwhile, 7 seeds have won the Stanley Cup in the last 6-7 years. It's not that sad, but
that's not the text I'm talking about. You know the text I'm talking about.
The hardest sport to win.
That's not the one either.
Golf or auto racing because you're going up against the field. You see what I'm saying?
You tell me every single time you play golf, you're playing against yourself. You're not playing against other people.
Right.
But so doesn't that apply to Colin Morikawa?
How many golfers start a tournament?
I don't know, like 100.
Thank you. There it is.
Okay.
You've just answered your own question.
More start in tennis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis is harder.
No, it's...
Yes, it is.
Well, it can be.
Yes, it is.
Depends. By the way, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Math Steinmetz.
What are you talking about?
You keep telling me about how hard the math is or how easy the math is for the San Francisco Giants. So from now on, you're Math Steinmetz.
I will say this. For all you guys who down on the Giants because they only won 2 of 3 from
you're
the White
one
Sox.
Of them.
First of all, what do you expect? They don't sweep anybody. They've got 2 series sweeps all year.
Yeah, I know.
So they're not sweeping anybody. Secondly, to keep things optimistic like I like to do... If the Giants
you are soft.
Win every series from now till the end of the year, they're going to the postseason. The White Sox were the template. 2 out of 3. We go up to Seattle. We wreck shop. They are in disarray. You don't even know who their interim manager is.
Who?
The Mariners.
Yes, I do.
Who?
Former Mariners great, Dan Wilson. He'll be in town tonight.
Catcher.
Yeah. Backup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course I know that. By the way.
Oh.
The Giants, if they win every single series the rest of the season, do not automatically make the postseason.
No, of course, not automatically.
No, you highlight this all the time. There are teams in front of them that also play games.
Okay.
If they
win the rest of their
series, they will make the postseason because of math.
Okay. I get that. I get that, Chief. All right. The San Francisco, but we can figure this out now. 65 and 64 is 129.
Mm-hmm.
139, 149, 159.
I don't like prime numbers.
33 games. If they
What's up with the odds?
If they go 22-11, that means the Giants will have won 87 games.
Oh, that's going to look good.
That will get them to the postseason. You want to bet?
For the fourth seed.
You want to bet them? You want to bet?
If they win,
87 will get the third wild card.
How about we bet they don't win 87 games?
No, I'm not betting that. I'm saying...
Well, the bet's going to be called off because they're not going to get there.
That may be fine.
I'll bet you if they win 87 games that they don't make the postseason.
No, bet me that 87 will be the number that would get you, that will get that team in. I don't care if it's the Giants or not. If the Giants win 86 games and somebody wins 87 and they're the third wild card team, I win.
Well, 87 is going to get you into the postseason.
That's all I'm saying.
Have you looked at how many 90-win teams there's going to be this year?
I appreciate you agreeing with me. Thank you.
There has been no team this season, AL or NL, that is going to run. Nobody's winning 107 this year. No one. Shoot, there might not be a 100-win team. Because of parity. So 87 is going to get you in. In fact, 84 might.
Well, just leave it there. Steiner, you're right.
No, you're wrong.
87 will get it done.
Bet,
of course it will.
Bet me.
I will not bet you on the Giants.
The Giants will not win 87 games this season.
I won't do that.
Why?
Because they're not going to win 2 out of 3 games every
season. Because of math?
No, because they're not very good.
So why are they going to make the postseason,
then? I never said they were.
You're insinuating.
I said the White Sox series is the template.
Well, that's pretty damning, that series.
Thank you.
And not because they won 2 games.
I hate to do this, but I do have to remind people, I'm precise with my words for a reason. I didn't say the Giants were
going to
win.
You've been afraid to bet me all week. I'm going to get a bet out of you before we leave this room.
That's because you treat me... like I treat Guru when we come to making a bet.
And how
and
does
I'm
it feel?
I'm not going to make a dumb one.
And how does it feel?
Hey, Guru, what's up, buddy?
Hey, he's going to be back today.
He's back today.
I can't wait.
Not for the show.
No, but... No,
not
look,
for the show.
I don't mind people calling in and say that kind of stuff. I miss Guru, too.
You know what? I feel like getting a little rise out of 49er fans right now. I love you guys. You know that.
You haven't for the first 90 minutes?
No.
We've been ripping them since 10:02.
No, listen. Murillo from Petaluma, one of our favorites, called, and he said, I'm soft. Well, let me tell you who's not soft. Let's hear what Howard Eskin had to say about the Niners this year. Howard Eskin, an icon media-wise in Philly, and he knows the game.
I think, and you guys aren't going to want to hear this, they're one of the top 2 teams in the NFC. And you're going to ask me the question. Who's the other
one? Who's the other one, Howard?
Green Bay.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so, I think San Francisco is in for a rude awakening. The 49ers are in for a rude awakening. And here's what I base it on. It's just statistical fact that the team that loses a Super Bowl has only gotten back once in the last 30 years, the next year.
Knew it.
Who was that team?
I don't know who.
I think it was the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure our text...
No, I take that back. No, because next year was the Bengals and the Rams. Apologies. But... the thing about it is, so he's got San Francisco. Well, he didn't say actually where he has them. He just said that the top 2 teams he has are the Eagles and the Packers.
Right.
I don't necessarily disagree with him about Philly. Although to me, the Niners should be your, like, if if all this wasn't going on, I would have the Niners above them.
Oh, I would too. But the problem is Philly is unified. They have put their issues from last year behind them. They've loaded up. Sirianni has a newfound respect in that locker room. And, oh, I don't know if you've heard. No, he and Jalen Hurts, they're tight.
Oh,
they're tight.
They got tight buns in the playoffs.
They are in sync in Philly right now, which actually doesn't mean anything. But
no, it doesn't. But I do think that Philadelphia is probably licking their chops looking at San Francisco because they got better this offseason. You're right. They're coming off a season that was, I don't know, had a lot of turmoil down the stretch, and the head coach and the quarterback evidently didn't get along. But that's another reason why it is frustrating reading every day about what is or isn't happening down at training camp in Santa Clara, because I do think that Philadelphia is vulnerable based on their relationship and their own locker room mess that was unearthed last season. The Niners are giving them every opportunity to unite, because if you're Philly right now and you're looking at San Francisco, you're seeing a team that is not aligned, and you're seeing a team that has a lot of distractions or a lot of issues. That's enough material for me to say, guys, we got to come together. If we come together, we can beat San Francisco. They're in shambles. At least, I don't know. That's what they're probably telling themselves.
They are.
Who?
The 49ers.
They're not in shambles yet.
Brandel Chambly.
Who?
49ers in shambles.
I was just waiting for that one.
No, they're not in a shambles, but they're also not resembling a Super Bowl winner either.
Oh, thank you. Our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union and Xfinity Mobile Text Line, just on top of everything. The Buffalo Bills, they lost and got back to the Super Bowl.
Did they win it?
No, they lost four straight times.
They buck the system, they get to the Super Bowl and lose.
The other one was the New England Patriots in 2017.
See, that's what I'm... Well, then there's two teams, so Eskin's wrong. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a statistical fact. Isn't that what he said?
I have a simple question.
I don't. By the way, the Packers are not better than the Niners. I don't care if they're aligned or united or not. They're not.
Does the math work for the Niners is the question.
Well, yeah, they're 0-0.
Well.
Although week zero is going to be a battle tonight in Las Vegas. Seriously, what are you looking for tonight, Steiny?
I am looking for some kind of cohesion offensively after the debacle of last week. Period. You got all your guys who want to play. They're going to be available. You're playing the Raiders. They're playing their second stringers, and they're not a well-coached team.
Just win, baby.
Just dominate them. You got to dominate them.
Well, at least when the starters are out there.
Why don't we ask 49ers?
You cannot get outscored by Aiden O'Connell at Allegiant.
I'll ask 49er fans about tonight's game. Do you think it's important? You got to acknowledge, as far as preseason games go, it's important. I mean, you do not want to go into the regular season having played that game against the Saints and then following it up with a game against the Raiders that you don't look good in. You just can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. And you know who agrees with me?
Who?
Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan agrees with me that tonight's game is an important preseason game. Those are facts. That's why he's playing the starters. Because if it didn't matter, he wouldn't play the starters. But he's worried. That's why he's playing the starters. He thinks they're behind. He thinks they need the work.
Yeah, they clearly have not gotten enough reps this preseason, in-game or because they missed their joint practices, that he's got to put them out there. I mean, I think Yeah, I think by being on the field, they're telling you that tonight's game is important. I mean, when other teams play their starters, not a lot of them played this week, but, you know, the first 2 weeks of preseason was important for, say, Caleb Williams. You know, last week was important for the Chiefs and Mahomes and Kelsey, who are out there on the field. I think they're telling you that this game is important. The result of the game doesn't mean anything, but if you're asking me what I'm going to take away from it, I'm looking for rhythm. I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for things that we have not seen or didn't see last week from Brock Purdy. I think because he didn't play with a lot of those starters, and I would like to feel pretty good that they could be able to walk into a preseason game and just kind of turn it on. You know, if on Monday we come in,
okay,
and that box score reads three and out three straight times for that starting offense, I'm sorry, that I'm going to take something away from that.
If they go three and out on their first three possessions, Monday will be a good day for Niner fans because the 49ers will announce that they've re-signed Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. You cannot go three and out three straight times.
Well, I don't think they will, but
I don't either.
But if that happened, you think they're signed by Monday? Because I actually think that gives Ayuk and Trent more reason to dig in. It's like, dude, price of the brick's going up.
I mean,
every single snap that Purdy takes, that he looks uncomfortable, or that Debo can't get off a corner and can't beat his man, or Kittle gets thrown into the... No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if the offense doesn't look very good against the Raiders, I think if anything, that would help Ayuk's situation and ask for more money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that it would behoove the Niners to score some points with their first-string unit tonight, even if it's without Williams and Ayuk. Jason LaConfora works for the Washington Post. He's tapped in as a National Football League writer. And take a listen to what he said about the Niners. First of all, he talks about the NFC favorites.
I like Green Bay. And look, we all saw that football game. I mean, it very easily have had the scenario where the Green Bay Packers advance, you know, out of San Francisco. They were the youngest team in the league. They really gelled. I just love what they're building there. There's no way their special teams can be as bad as they've been forever. And I like the defensive coordinator hire. The quarterback is just scratching the surface. I like Green Bay. You know, and look, if the Rams, I hear Cooper Kupp is looking good, and if they can keep Stafford on the field, like, I think it's going to be a real dogfight between the Rams and the 49ers. I don't think it's going to be like last year. I don't think people are going to be crowning that division, you know, at Thanksgiving or anything like that.
Thoughts?
Well, I agree with that. I don't think the rest of the division is going to fold like a chair. That often doesn't happen. But the Rams, I think, are better this year. Although they've had some injuries in camp. You know, it's not going to be I don't think Seattle's going to be a cakewalk. The fact that Mike McDonald is now in that division, he, by the way, was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens last year, and they did a pretty good job against Brock Purdy. They also did a pretty good job against every Kyle Shanahan offense in the league last year, although Baltimore's defense is far more talented, I think, than Seattle's is. So, you know, Mike McDonald's probably going to help them. I don't think that Arizona is going to be a massive pushover, but the Niners should still win that division. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as it was last year. Again, I don't think this season is going to be as easy as it was for much of the year last season. I mean, the Niners had the one seed wrapped up by the second to last week, basically. They were able to put it, you know, they basically got two byes. You know, I don't think they're going to get two byes this year. I don't think they're going to get one bye. But as far as the Packers are concerned, I don't know, Steiny. They kind of feel flavor of the month to me.
All right.
Like, they're the team that snuck into the postseason, which, by the way, they were, oh my God.
What?
A couple of games away. There was a lot of games last year that should not have gone their way that did. They were 9-8, right? Barely got in. Ended up beating Dallas, who's... And Guru wouldn't mind me saying this. They're fraudulent, and they've proven that over and over. And they caught the Niners on a rainy night, and they still lost. So the Jordan Love thing, to me, is interesting because everyone has so much faith that this guy is going to go and be the next big thing. And the Packers have had a lot of quarterbacks in their lineage that have just kind of one to the other, to the Favre, to Rodgers, now to Love. He's going to be the guy. I think the Packers are going to be a good football team, but everybody penciling in them in as if they're going to be the one seed or the two seed. I don't know. That's a really tough division, and oftentimes you have to kind of run away with your division if you want the one seed.
Jason LaConfora, the Washington Post, was asked about the 49ers. And if you didn't check it out, he wrote a story on the Niners yesterday in the Washington Post. He's an NFL writer, and he was asked by Willard and Dibbs yesterday, what's the vibe of the 49ers camp? How you feeling about them? How they feeling about themselves?
I mean, off. Funky. You got two of their most important players at war with the team over their over the money. And look, there's a lot of people who feel like when stuff gets real, Trent will get put to bed, and you know what I mean? No harm, no foul, and you don't want the big man doing anything anyway. But, like, again, until it's done, it's not. So, I mean, again, you want to talk Super Bowl losing curse, we can. You want to talk about, you know, locker room being a little off because guys who have done what they think they you know, have done enough for that team to get paid there are having trouble getting paid there. Then you want to talk about whatever, how things have looked at some practices or how things have looked at some preseason games. You want to talk about, hey, maybe the Rams and Seattle, maybe even Arizona are a little better than some people think. I mean, you could start building a case for this year could certainly be at least far more challenging than last year.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you said, Evan. Doesn't look like it's going to be easier than last year, that's for sure.
No, but it's not. That doesn't mean the Niners still can't win 11 or 12 games. I just think it's going to be extremely difficult to do so. You know, last year they only won 12.
What if they're not the one seed?
I think they had a better team than last year. Well, it's funny you mentioned the one seed because yeah. That was kind of my premise about you know, how hard it is to win particular championships. Over 50% of one seeds the last, I think it's like 25 or 30 years, go on to the Super Bowl. So if you don't, also the Niners, when have they gotten to the Super Bowl without the one seed? Under Kyle Shanahan, they haven't. So not that it's a necessity, but again, their path this year, to me, just, it looks much, much more difficult. And more importantly, they're not making it any easier on themselves with how they've handled this summer.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Here's what we're going to do. 888-957-9570. I see Ray. I see Antonio. 49ers last preseason game tonight. It's the third one. The starters are going to play. Let me ask you this, 40. How interested are you in this game? Because I'll just be honest with you. This is one of the few preseason games that I'm at least somewhat intrigued by. I will say that. I'm kind of messing around saying it's a legacy game, but you can't tell me that tonight's game doesn't mean anything. You just can't. Not after the training camp that the 49ers have been through. 888-957-9570. What do you want to see tonight? What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It was brought to you by Fremont Bank.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.